Appendix B. The In Christ Motif. Introduction. The members of the General Conference appointed primacy of the Gospel Committee, 1994-2000, were given a special responsibility to study if the Bible supports the righteousness by faith ideas taught by A.T. Jones and E.J. Wagoner during the years of Ellen White's endorsements, 1888-1896. The primary focus of attention was to be the Bible, not with an intention to disparage Ellen White's writings, but because she herself, as the lesser light, directs us to the study of the greater light. The Seventh-day Adventist Church must proclaim Bible truth to the world. However, as an introduction to Bible study, several serious statements of Ellen White catch our attention and direct us to a closer investigation into the biblical teaching of the In Christ idea. 1. Her astounding statement in The Desire of Ages. When the Father put his arms around Jesus at his baptism in the River Jordan, at the same time he put his arms around the entire human race in him. The word that was spoken to Jesus at the Jordan, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased," embraces humanity. God spoke to Jesus as our representative. With all our sins and weaknesses, we are not cast aside as worthless. He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. 2. The Emancipation Proclamation Statement. Ellen White likened the entire human race to the slaves in the American Confederacy, legally set free by President Lincoln's Emancipation Proclamation of January 1, 1863. The Savior's heart of divine love and sympathy is drawn out, most of all for the one who is the most hopelessly entangled in the snares of the enemy. With his own blood, he has signed the Emancipation Papers of the race. 3. The Christ Saved the World Statements. Ellen White recognized that Christ has given salvation to every human being. Christ redeemed Adam's disgraceful fall and saved the world. He restored the whole human race to favor with God. Christ acted in God's stead toward humanity, saving the race from immediate death. 4. The wicked live because of the cross. Never one, saint or sinner, eats his daily food, but he is nourished by the body and the blood of Christ. 5. In order to be lost, you must reject the gift of God in Christ. The sinner may resist this love, may refuse to be drawn to Christ, but if he does not resist, he will be drawn to Jesus in repentance. Ellen White's conclusions: in one certain sense, the entire human race is in Christ. Every soul has been emancipated in Christ. He accomplished the salvation of the world. In some special sense, every human soul eats the Lord's Supper. The gift that the grace of Christ gives is so effective that one must resist and reject it in order to be lost. What does the Bible say about the In Christ idea? God's love for the world is so strong and effective that the sinner must disbelieve in order to perish. The Father laid upon Christ the guilt of the sins of every human being. He adopted each one in Christ. As our second Adam, Christ has taken humanity into himself. As surely as Adam was redeemed and saved when the Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world, so surely is every descendant of Adam redeemed and saved in that same objective sense. He can receive or reject the gift given him in Christ. Thus Christ has already died the second death of every human being. Not imputing unto them their trespasses, God has credited to every human being the full benefits of the sacrifice of Christ. Our work is to tell people so. Thus Christ eats with sinners, because he treats them as though they were not guilty, their sins being imputed upon himself. To treat a guilty sinner as though he were not guilty is due to a legal justification or judicial verdict of acquittal in Christ. The Father has adopted the entire human race in Christ. The 16 pronouns, we, us, and our, in Isaiah, chapter 53, verses 1-6, include every member of the human race, because the we is the same all we, who, like sheep have gone astray. It follows therefore, that the iniquity of us all, which was laid upon Christ, is that of every human individual. Thus, again, it is seen that Christ has adopted the human race in himself. It follows also that every human soul can choose to believe, and say with David, O Lord, truly I am thy servant, thou hast loosed my bonds. Every human being can believe and claim there is an attorney defending him at the judgment bar of God. Christ is declared to be the Savior of the world, the Savior of all men. Since he has tasted death for every man, the death which Christ has abolished must be the second death. Since God wants all men to be saved and to come unto a knowledge of the truth, he has specifically not prepared the lake of fire for any human being, but for the devil and his angels. The wicked who end up in the lake of fire will do so only because they have chosen eternal death. They love it because they hate Christ. Christ has lifted for all men the legal condemnation, judicial verdict of condemnation, that Adam's transgression brought upon the human race. Reversing the condemnation in Adam, Christ has brought to all men a legal justification unto life in the gift of himself. The same all who sinned are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. This is not the experience of justification by faith, for all do not experience that. This is the foundation on which the experience can rest, when the sinner does believe. The act of justifying took place when Christ's blood was shed. In a corporate sense, we were reconciled to God by his death, long before we were even born. When we believe the gospel, we receive the reconciliation. As every human being is by creation and by nature placed in Adam, so the same every human being is by redemption placed in Christ as his purchased possession. The first and second resurrections prove the legal identity of all human beings, the saved and the lost, in Christ. But the lost have chosen to repudiate the identity already effected for them. An adopted person is legally free to repudiate the adoption. So the sinner can choose by unbelief to repudiate his or her election or adoption in Christ. As an example of how the lost repudiate their being chosen in Christ, Esau's experience is a warning. He had the birthright, it was his by virtue of his birth, no one could wrest it from him, but he chose to sell it for a trifling sensual indulgence. The horror of suffering the second death will be the final realization when the lost see how they have repeated what Esau did. They will see how they despised their election in Christ. They will understand how they hid the birthright blessing. It wasn't merely offered to them, they were chosen in him, predestinated unto the adoption of children by in Jesus Christ, accepted in the Beloved, in whom they had redemption through his blood. All this they will see they have despised and rejected as did Esau. The lake of fire will mercifully end the horror of a total self-condemnation they will feel. To believe in Jesus is a choice to appreciate what Christ has accomplished for us by his sacrifice and the gift of himself. Faith is a choice for experiential identity of oneself in Christ, to validate all that has already been accomplished for him or her. Receiving, believing, appropriating, appreciating the subjective gospel results in experiencing the subjective gospel, which is a life transformed by justification by faith. Believing and appreciating God's love is easy, while resisting or kicking against it is hard.